Where could I go but to the Lord? That is the theme of Psalm 55. We will notice some interesting things about the psalm in just a moment. It was written during the time of the betrayal of David by his own son, Absalom, and by his counselor, and one might argue one of his best friends, Ahithophel. David was confused, he was afraid, he was frustrated, he was angry. He had all of the emotions that we might expect if we were to find ourselves in a similar situation. We're not king of Israel, and therefore we do not know his exact circumstances. But there are times in life when we may be challenged and when we may feel that people have turned against us and when people are trying to destroy us. And where can we go in a situation like that but to the Lord? The rebellion of one's son would be difficult to endure, but David soon discovered that Ahithophel was involved as well. If you look at Psalm 41 and verse 9, we find this statement. David said, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, all hath lifted up his heel against me." And then we'll see another reference in Psalm 55 as we go forward this morning. This psalm has two unique features. In the first place, it is what is called an imprecatory psalm. That means it's one in which the author prays for his enemies and prays for God to defeat them. It is also what is called a maskil psalm, one that is written to provide instruction and guidance. And in fact, in the end, we're going to see that David makes an application to all humankind, that all of us could learn from the trust and the attitude that he had toward God. And so hopefully, if we're facing similar situations at any time in our lives, this psalm would be very helpful in providing principles that can help us get through a very difficult situation. Now, this psalm can be outlined in several different ways, and if you do some research, you will find some of those outlines. One of them might be because the psalm is divided into three parts. That is agreed by all. But some have broken it down this way and said, well, the first section deals with complaint, the second with condemnation, and the third with confession. Someone else has said, well, it deals with David's anguish, it deals with David's anger, and deals with David's answer. Of the two, that one is the better and conveys the thought of the psalm even better than the first. But neither one of those are the ones that we're going to use this morning. I simply do that to show you there are numbers of ways it can be outlined. But what we're going to notice is that the first section is verses 1 through 8, and we're going to look at the pain that David felt. The pain that David felt. Psalm 55, verse 1. "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." In verses 1 and 2, then, we notice very vividly David's desperation. He begins the psalm by pleading with the Lord, seeking the favor and the mercy of God in this situation. David had learned that he needed God in every situation of life, and especially in situations such as this, and so he wasted no time in calling upon the Lord. We're going to see in a moment that that is something upon which we are to do as well, something we are to do as well. This reveals a most simple truth, but there is a profound implication. The simple truth is when we are in a situation over which we have no ultimate control and we need God's help, we need to turn to God and we need to ask Him for His help. Someone once wrote, "There is an assurance in the human heart that God will understand when no one else can." Isn't that what we just sang? Where could I go but to the Lord? That song talks about different problems and different difficulties that will be faced in life. But the conclusion is the same conclusion to which David has come and does come in this psalm. Where can I go but to the Lord? The Lord is the only one that has the power to do whatever it needs, whatever we need to have done. So we see David's desperation expressed in the beginning of his prayer or of this song. But the second thing we're going to notice is despair in verses 3 through 5. David faced a direct and unwanted attack from those who sought to bring him harm. And David had done nothing wrong. This was his ambitious son who had stood at the gate and told people, "Oh, if I were only king. If I were only king, I would do this for you and I would do that for you." Sounds like a politician, doesn't it? But that's exactly what he did. And people began to think, "Oh, well, if Absalom were king, I could have this and I could have that. The government would take care of me. The government would do this for me and that for me, and I would be a friend of the king." And so people began to follow him. And so Absalom was trying to take away the throne, but not just from anyone, from his own family, his own son. And so David is facing this attack. They were particularly painful because of those from whom they came. The words of Absalom, Ahithophel, and others, they had no restraint, and they grieved David, the psalmist here, with feelings of sadness and with confusion, and as he said himself, with fear. Fear for his life. He knew his enemies were committed to overtaking his throne and ruling over the kingdom at any cost, even if that meant that Absalom would have to kill his own father. We don't rule over a kingdom. And we will not face attacks such as this, but we may have faced and we may face similar attacks at some point in our life. Somebody wants your job. Somebody wants credit for your work. Someone is jealous of your success. Someone is jealous of your good reputation. And out of jealousy and or anger, they seek to destroy you. And it doesn't matter whether what they tell is the truth or whether it's lies. If it means that they can be elevated and you can be demoted, they will do whatever it takes. It seems all too common in the world of politics and business, does it not? We see people stabbing one another in the back from time to time so that they can have personal gain. It's never easy to face. That is slander and hatred. But they're especially difficult, or it is especially difficult, when it comes from someone that we thought we could trust and that we thought cared about us and that we thought we cared about. That's what David is facing. These kinds of attacks, they grieve our hearts depending on the situation and can even create fear in our hearts for our own lives. A man one day had tried to stand up for what was right and to do what was right, and only one other person would stand with him. Others that should have been standing with him decided, "Well, we want to go along with the crowd and do what everyone else is doing." And one of those involved, a very prominent person in the church, came to the first person and said, "If you don't resign, I'm going to kill you." This from a Christian. This from a brother. This from someone whom everyone thought could be trusted. Someone whom everybody thought was a person of love and concern and caring. It was a shock. I'm happy to tell you that the person who said that repented, went to that person, went to that brother, then went before the church and admitted what he had done and confessed it. He went on to do great things in the church. But people can get caught up in things and say and do things that they shouldn't. And so David here cries out to the Lord for deliverance. Verses 6 through 8 tell us something that's interesting. He says, if I were a dove, or if I could be like a dove, I would just fly away and be at rest. He was in a period of emotional distress, and he wished that he could just get away from the situation. There is no doubt that David wished that God would take care of his enemies, but he did not want anything personally to happen to Absalom at some level anyway, because we read in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 12 through chapter 19 and verse 6, that David sent orders for them not to hurt the young man Absalom. And when he heard that Absalom was dead, the people were about to turn against David because he cried out, "Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would that I had died in your stead." And so it wasn't that David wanted harm to come to his own son, but God, he wanted God to judge them. And there were many, many wicked people involved. And we'll see in a moment, he does pray that they would be taken swiftly to the grave. But he desired to be delivered. He simply wanted to escape the struggle that he faced without having to suffer harm, and really without him having to bring harm to anyone else, more than likely. And these are sentiments that we all might can relate to. When problems come along, are there times that we just say, "I wish I could get away"? You know, sometimes we take short trips just so we can have a breather and we can take a break. But sometimes problems just continue and they nag and they hang on. And we think, if I could only just fly away and leave it behind. Leave all the cares and problems behind. This is exactly what David wanted to do in this situation. So we find his desperation and his despair, and we noticed his desire, and his desire was for deliverance. And I'll leave that there for just a moment. He wished for an escape so that he could leave his troubles behind. I'll leave that on the screen. I'll move forward, and very quickly we'll come back to that. But the problem that David faced is the next thing we'll observe. The problem that David faced, and this is verses 9 through 15. The first thing that he faced, we'll see, is going to be cruelty as we read the text. He said, "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou." He's talking about Ahithophel here. Same as we read over in Psalm 41. "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell," literally the grave or the pit. "For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." And verse 16 begins the third and final section. But notice what he's saying here. He's talking about the problem that he faced. First of all, he faced cruelty. Verses 9 and 10, there was violence and strife in the city. This new order that was coming about, they sought to silence everyone who supported David or had anything good to say about him. We talk about cancel culture today, but it's not new. Cancel culture existed in the time of David, in the time of Jeremiah, time of Isaiah. People were trying to cancel everyone who was speaking out for God. Well, they were trying to cancel anybody that was speaking out for David, and sometimes quite literally. They were going to kill anyone that got in their way. So not only was there cruelty, but there was corruption in verse 11. David's enemies would say anything to ruin his reputation. And sometimes things like that can do more damage than a physical blow. Oftentimes, those who become angry are consumed with their anger, and will stop at nothing to slander or debase the person who is the object of their jealousy or of their anger. They feel no remorse in spreading vicious lies in an attempt to mar the reputation of those of whom they are jealous. Bitterness and anger are strong emotions that drive men to extreme measures. However, Romans 12 and verse 19 tells us that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And that's why David turned to the Lord, and that's why we should turn to the Lord. Another thing that he finds here in the problem that he is facing is confusion, verses 12 through 15. David explains that he could have handled these attacks better if they had come from a known enemy, those who had already wanted to take his throne, an enemy, a foreign government, a foreign land. But it wasn't like that. This was his son. This was his son and his trusted counselor. They had shared bread at his table, he said. They had counseled with him, seeking advice. They had worshiped together in God's house. And so those whom David loved had turned upon him, even to the point of being willing to kill him in a vengeful attack. The psalmist then prays for the death of his enemies. He says, let death seize upon them, verse 15. This really is a prophecy of the suddenness of the destruction that would come upon his enemies in general, and it did. Ahithophel, when he found that his counsel was rejected, he hanged himself. Absalom and his army was defeated, and his hair was caught in the limbs of a tree. He was suspended thereby, and Joab came along and killed him with 3 darts, the Bible says. And so he goes on, he continues, let them go down quick into hell. The King James says, the pit or Sheol, other translations will say. In other words, he's saying, let the earth swallow them up. Let them die quickly. Well, 20,000 of them, of Absalom's troops, they were killed on the field of battle. And the Bible says this, and notice this in contrast or in context of what he said. Let them die quickly. Let the land devour them. The wood, 2 Samuel 18:7-8, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. David's prayer was answered. David sought relief from his enemies, but he never stopped caring for Absalom, even though Absalom had tried to kill him. And we noticed that already, especially 2 Samuel 19:6. But we want to find then very quickly the peace that David found. The peace that David found, first of all, was the anticipation of God's response, his necessary and his righteous response. Verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So the anticipation of God's response. David faced a powerful enemy, and he knew it. People that were seeking his life. But he trusted in the Lord. Verse 17 says that he prayed in the morning, that he prayed at noon, and that he prayed at night. What does Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? He said, pray without ceasing. Morning, noon, and night. Do we only pray when we go to bed at night? Do we only pray when we get up in the morning? Those are good times to pray. More than likely, none of us pray as much as we should. But David knew that in a time of crisis such as this, it was a time to go to the Father in prayer, and he did. And we should do the same. Prayer should always be our immediate reaction, not a last-minute response to our problems. It should be instantaneous. We serve a powerful God, a loving Savior. And because of that, we should come boldly to his throne to obtain mercy and to receive grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:15-16. In this text, in verse 18, we observe that the struggle at this point was not over for David. His enemies remained, and their determination to defeat him had not wavered. It remained strong. However, David, even though he knew that his physical enemies were many, and he seemed to be outnumbered by those who sought his life, he knew that having the Lord on his side would place him in the what? The minority or the majority? Would place him in the majority. He knew that. It was, and if it was, the Lord's will to defeat his enemies, that day or at some future moment, David knew that it was the same as if it had already happened, because when God determines that a thing will be, it will be. And it can be stated as though it had already happened. David rested as though the enemy had been defeated, because he knew they would be. And we can do the same thing. We need to be careful not to give in to worry. And that's really one of our major points here. The Lord has already conquered every enemy that we could possibly face. Hebrews 4:15 says that he was free of sin. He had endured all temptation, but was free of sin. He overcame death and the grave, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, he has overcome Satan. He has already overcome every enemy that we could have. So why would we not trust him? He will do what he does. He will do it in his own time. Sometimes we get in a hurry and we think, well, if you don't do it on my time, then how could I believe? God will do it in his own time. He did so for David. He did so for others, and he will do so for us. He also acknowledged the righteousness of God. And in verse 19, in the first part, he talks about what God had done. And therefore, past history demonstrated what God would do, that God would act, that he would do something. And David looked at his present circumstances and realized these circumstances demand that God do something now. That is, in that situation, the latter part of verse 19 through verse 21. What about David's enemies? He talks about them. He says in verse 19, they're disbelieving men. Verse 20, they're despicable men. Verse 21, they're deceitful men. We notice also the assurance of God's retribution. Verse 22 is our verse. Because David said, here's a conclusion to which all can come. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. David says, I have absolute confidence in the Lord. Wait a minute. I thought people were trying to kill him. They were. I thought his own son was trying to steal the throne. He was. I thought his own counselor had turned against him. You know, that's a curious thing too. The Bible says that Absalom called for Ahithophel, and that Ahithophel came to him, and the conspiracy came strong. And we wonder, why did Ahithophel do that? Well, put yourself in his position. Number one, he could have thought, well, if I want to be in the next administration, then I've got to say whatever it takes to put myself in the position of Absalom's new kingdom. He also may have thought, you know, if I don't follow him, I'm going to die. It will cost me my life. There are several things involved, perhaps, with what Ahithophel did, but Ahithophel should have been a man and stood up and said, I'm not turning against God's anointed. And that's what David was. He was God's anointed. And so David was sure of God's retribution. God's defense of the saint, verse 23. God's defeat of the sinner. God's defense of the saint is verse 22. His defeat of the sinner is verse 23. What about when David went out to battle Goliath? What did he say? The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. David trusted God even though he was in a terrible predicament. I may have wondered why God had allowed it to go as far as it had already, but he knew God would deliver him eventually. And that's a confidence that we need to develop. Those who sought David's defeat had not planned on one thing. They had not planned on God fighting for him. And our enemies, if we have any, who might seek to destroy us, tear us down, the one thing that they have not considered is the fact that if we're on the Lord's side, that the Lord will be fighting for us as well. David had prayed and cast all his cares upon the Lord. And now he says, I'm going to rest while God takes care of the rest, takes care of the need by defeating my enemies. Isn't that the attitude that all of God's children should have? I think it is, and I think the Bible tells us so, and I think the New Testament tells us as Christians, most definitely this is true. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Is that not a perfect summation of Psalm 55? It certainly is. There are times when we may have to stand and fight for ourselves. There will be times when it's best to give our burdens to the Lord from the very beginning and to let him fight the battle for us. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. It is well with my soul. One of the phrases in that song says, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Is that not exactly what David said? Is that not what we should do? Is it well with your soul this morning? Have you repented and been baptized for the remission of sins? Acts 2, verse 38 through 47, so that Christ will add you to the church. That being done, of course, by faith, because without faith, nothing else would be done. Do you have that kind of faith in the Lord? Would you confess that faith before others unashamedly, as the New Testament teaches us to do? Have you been living a faithful Christian life? Maybe there are problems. Maybe there are people that have been attacking you. Maybe there are people that have done you wrong. Maybe there's nothing you can do about it. There is something you can do about it. You can turn it over to the Lord, and you can pray for the deliverance that David knew would come and that we all should know would come in God's own time. So I ask you the question again. Do you have the relationship with God that you know that you need to have and that you really, deep down inside, that you want to have? Is it well with your soul? That's a question for all of us. If it's not, and you need to change, and we can help in any way, would you come as we stand and as we sing?